Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you be on.
My suicide belt is on.
Good.
Thank you, sir.
I remember, there's the standard.
There's the standard. I would like to ask if anybody has any questions from the previous lectures that we had, whether from the previous church or this church, before we move forth. Any questions? I've never read that book, Queen of Heaven, Queen of Islam. You haven't either? I don't read all the books that I see. I'm very choosy when it comes to books. I like to be very selective. Yes, sir.
Did your mother ever get a chance to come back to this country?
Yes, sir. I rescued her in 1994, and I united her with her mother, my grandmother. And we prayed that God will bring her back. And so it's a long story, but we got her back, so she's with us. All the questions are just personal questions, no questions about the Bible, but that's okay. How old was I when I was saved? I was 33. It's okay. I want some good questions. Give me some questions about the Bible. Remember I said, go home, find me a country that's not... All the things we talked about, just forget about it. And Americans just love the personal stuff, which is okay. What other country? What's the other country in Asia Minor? There is no country that is not Muslim that's going to be affected. That's my argument. That's why I said go home and, you know, try to get me some names of countries that are not Muslim. Do you have any? I think somebody told me, like, Rome is mentioned. Rome is mentioned 15 times, not once in destruction. So what happened? What are all those books about Rome being destroyed? Where did it come from? There is no reference in Rome of destruction. This is what we conclude here. Back there, there was somebody raising their hand very high. Who was that? Yes, sir. There was no other country that I could find. That's why I've been searching for years. I met with a bunch of scholars, about 200 of them. I spoke to them in Dallas, and they all wrote many books, you know. Some of the favorite guys, like Dave Hunt. I love these guys. Randall Price was there. Noah Hutchings was there. Some of my favorite guys were there. And I asked the same question. Not one raised his hand. So don't be alarmed. You're not going to raise your hand because it doesn't exist. It just doesn't exist in literal form. Yes, sir. Yes. Is Iran the focus center for the Muslim religion? No. Iran is a Shia country. Islam is broken into two halves, Shia and the Sunni. The Shia is 15% of Islam. The Sunni is 85% of Islam. Now, the superpower has become a Shia country. And that's making the Sunnis very upset. So now there's going to be a race of becoming the number one super country, militarily, that is. So who's the candidate to become a super power in the Middle East besides Iran? Well, it could be Turkey, Egypt. There's several candidates. So they're not going to sit by and allow Iran to become the number one superpower militarily in the Middle East, the Sunnis, that is. Iran is not the center focus of Islam. The center focus of Islam is Saudi Arabia. That's where they go to Mecca once in a lifetime to get their sins forgiven. How do you get your sins forgiven in Islam? That's maybe an interesting topic. You don't go to Iran, you go to Saudi Arabia. You go around the Black Stone 7 times, you run between As-Safa and Al-Marwa 7 times and all these things, and you go to Medina, you visit the Mosque of the Prophet. But the Black Stone, when you go around the Black Stone 7 times and you wave at the stone, you try to kiss the stone, the Black Stone takes away the sins of the Muslims. So they have a stone, just we say our, you know, the stone that was cut without hands, that was our Messiah. They have to come up with some sort of an image, some sort of something. It's black because it took away the sins of the Muslims. That's why they call it the Black Stone. Can you imagine a stone taking away the sins of the people? But why the stone, and what is that stone? Well, there is a warning in the Bible about worshiping Artemis in the New Testament. Don't, you know, and her sign that fell from heaven. I know most of you never read it, but it's there. I'm trying to remember where. It's in my book. Now, I'll show that reference. And her sign that fell from heaven, the stone, the star, the asteroid. They worshipped asteroids at that time. Okay? The worship of an asteroid that fell from heaven was, you know, going on all the time, even in New Testament times. And the Bible warned us about that. What is the worship of that stone? Well, it's a star fell from heaven. You know, Revelation 8:10, remember we talked about the star that falls from heaven, that's Satan. Satan wants to be worshipped. So he wants a symbol for himself. He wants an image for himself. And that image he set up in the black stone in Saudi Arabia in Kaaba. And Muslims worship towards that black stone 5 times a day. All Muslims who pray, pray towards Mecca, towards the black stone. You got to think about that one. Satan is being worshipped. Similar to Nebuchadnezzar when he made an image and he asked everybody to worship that image, to bow down to that image. So when you think about the image, you think it's the image of the Antichrist. You think, oh, it's got to be sort of a videotape of Antichrist somewhere and they're all worshipping it, or some image or something that talks. You're thinking about something really and not going to happen. An image is simply a stone, a symbol of Satan that they all worship towards it, and they will worship it. Any questions? Yes.
You were talking about Gomer this morning. What country? I think
it's Gomer.
Yeah, what country is that?
That Gomer, Beftogarma, is in the southern states of Russia. That's between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea. That would be the Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, those countries are all Beftogarma and Gomer. You're welcome. Yes, sir.
Okay, from what you said, Saudi Arabia is playing the devil's advocate with the United States and the rest of the world. They're acting like they're a peaceful, they're like terrorism, and such as this. So, in the time, I'm assuming they're going to turn their coat real fast. Does that mean the Antichrist might come out of Saudi Arabia?
Well, Muslims believe the Mahdi, Sunnis believe the Mahdi, will come out of Arabia. Iranians believe the Mahdi will come out of Karbala area, their Shia area. We don't know where the Antichrist is going to come from. I mean, I don't believe that 100% their predictions are going to come true. However, their predictions are paralleling the Bible in a lot of ways. It's like, why would Satan know that Arabia will be destroyed? So when the Muslims see it happen, that they think that everything is going according to plan, that their Quran or Muhammad, their prophet, is able to predict the future. So Satan knows the future. Not all of it, and not 100% right. But he's paralleled it. Now, Antichrist is coming from Saudi Arabia? No. Antichrist is coming from, I believe, the area of Asia Minor. Why? Because I believe that Gog is the Antichrist. Some interpret Gog as being separate from the Antichrist. And why do I say he is the Antichrist? Most people who want to adhere to a European Union Antichrist, you know, the Antichrist comes from Europe kind of theory that Westerners have, there's a problem here, because there's many parts of the Bible that says he comes from the north. Specifically, Ezekiel 38 gives an allusion to this Antichrist coming from the north that he's called Gog. Now think about Gog. Are you familiar with Gog of the land of Magog, or you guys don't study that stuff? You do? Yeah. Gog is a historic person. There's a real person historically was called Gog, Gogo, or Gaiges. Gaiges. He came out of Lydia. Lydia is where? Asia Minor. Lydia is in Asia Minor. We got to get these things straight. It's in Turkey, Asia Minor. And Gaiges worshipped the god Men. Men was the moon. That's where you get the word moon from. The moon god. And he was a war kind of guy. Real person. That's why this evil one who comes, the Bible has many nicknames for him. God likes these nicknames. He uses them all the time. He calls the Antichrist the Prince of Tyre. Why? Because he rules Tyre. Where is Tyre? Tyre is in Lebanon. He calls him Pharaoh of Egypt. Why does God call the Antichrist Pharaoh of Egypt? Because he also rules Egypt. He says, you're nothing but a Pharaoh. You're nothing but a Gaiges, that one who worshipped the moon god, the war god, the warring kind of guy, the warring general. He loves war. That's why he calls him these things. What else does he call him? Pharaoh of Egypt, king of Babylon. Where's Babylon today? Iraq. Why is he called, you know, Pharaoh of Egypt, king of Babylon, Gog of the land of Magog, prince of Tyre? All these are Muslim countries. And he is ruling them. In fact, the Antichrist goes and he takes Egypt in Daniel 11. Egypt, Cush, and Phut will follow him in submission. Why? How can they follow somebody in submission that comes out of Europe? They follow him willfully in submission. When he comes to their country, they say, ah, we pledge allegiance to you. Why Egypt? A Muslim fundamentalist country. Sudan. Another Muslim fundamentalist country that killed 1 million or 2 million Christians. And Libya, Fut, which is Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco, Mauritania. All these countries are Muslims following the Antichrist. Well, it's making sense. Now, for the people who adhere to a Western Antichrist, they don't know what to do with Ezekiel 38. Because Ezekiel 38... Gog sticks out like a sore thumb. He does a lot of mess. He sounds like an antichrist, the antichrist. So what do? They say, well, the battle of Gog and Magog happens before the tribulation period. You understand? It must happen before the battle of Armageddon, the serious battle that Christ comes down and he fights the antichrist. That's not the one. That's not the battle that Christ fights the antichrist in. Because it doesn't match the Western mold of how the Bible is going to be fulfilled. Are you understanding me so far? Now we're going to examine the evidence of Gog and Magog battle. I'm going to look at it and see. Is the Gog and Magog battle, does it happen before Jesus comes or right when Jesus comes? Are you with me? Before Jesus comes or when Jesus comes? If it happens when Jesus comes, guess what? It's got to be the Battle of Armageddon. You can't escape it because Jesus comes to fight the Antichrist. You all agree with me? Are you in tune with what I'm saying here? Okay. So we go to the Bible and it talks about Gog of the land of Magog and all this stuff. And then he gives the allies that comes with him. Verse 5, Iran, Persia, Ethiopia, Sudan, Kush, Libya. You know, Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco, Mauritania, Gomer, which is the five Islamic states south of Russia. All of these countries that come against Israel. And verse 17 says, I got to go to the, which page is King James? Huh? 12:6-7, right there. Great. Verse 17. Thus says the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them. Now, that's why I like to go back to the Bible. It says the prophets of Israel have been prophesying of you all these years, right? How many prophets? Plural. It's not one prophet. It's all the prophets been talking about you. Are you not the one who all the prophets have been talking about all this time? So, now Gog exists in two places. In Revelation after the millennium is over. But that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about that invasion of Israel before the millennium. Right, Pastor? So put the Revelation aside. There's only one place and one prophet talks about a person called Gog. And that is Ezekiel, right? So what other prophets talked about Gog? None. Guess what? There's a contradiction in the Bible, Christians. How do you follow a book that has so many contradictions? Pastor, is there any Gog besides Ezekiel? He admits there's a contradiction. You must abandon your faith right now and become Muslim, right? No! Wrong! Because Gog is the same guy as these other guys. That's why he says, you're the one all the prophets have been talking about. Do you understand? All of them have been talking about you. What did Joel say about Gog? He did. The army from the north. He talked about it. What did other parts of the Bible? Isaiah called him the Assyrian, another name for the Antichrist. He's called Assyrian, the Prince of Tyre, Pharaoh of Egypt, right? All these titles. Assyria is where? Syria, Iraq, Arab world again, Muslim world. Turkey, by the way, is Assyria. The Seleucid Empire was also part of that whole thing. So, if he is the Assyrian, then Isaiah talked about it. There's only two choices, ladies and gentlemen. Either you choose the Bible has a contradiction, either you choose that these are conundrums, all speaking of the same individual. They are all talking about the same individual. Because if you look at the attributes, they're all the same. Simply, Ezekiel gives us a different synopsis of the Antichrist. Isaiah gives us different synopsis. Joel gives a different picture. You put the puzzle together and you get the full king caboodle and you'll figure it all out. So, all the prophets talked about him. That's clue number one, why Gog is the Antichrist. You might want to argue that with me all you want, but you're not really arguing with me. Take your argument to Ezekiel. I'm not interested in taking the arguments to tell me that it doesn't say the word prophets, plural. That's why it's crucial to go to the right translation. It says prophets. That's accurate. It's not wrong. Now, what else does it say? Look at that. Look at verse 18. Verse 18. Very interesting stuff. And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord, that my fury shall come up in my face. Whose face? When did the Lord have a face? Is this talking about an allegoric face? Now what they will do is they'll allegorize that. Now, there's another part in the Bible that says the Lord and his and the Lord God goes before them and he will fight for them. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives in Zechariah. You know that one? When did the Lord have feet? 10 toes? Feet? Launching pad? That is Christ incarnate, the chili con carne. Don't forget that one. He's coming down in the flesh to do this. The glorified body. He's coming down with full glory. So he's coming down to judge the nations on his face. You want to believe me? Let's move on. Keep going. Look at that. Verse 19. Verse 19. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. There's an earthquake. Huge one. The same earthquake in Revelation, the same earthquake in Zechariah when his feet touches the Mount of Olives. Is that a battle that happens before tribulation, before the battle of Armageddon? No. And the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at what? I want to hear it from you. My presence. His presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down. Kingdoms will be gone. And literally this case. Real earthquake. Now, you might want to doubt me still that this is his physical presence. Some people argue with me, but Mr. Shabbat, Gog and Magog are destroyed by a miracle from God, and they're not destroyed by a battle. The Battle of Armageddon, it's a war where the Antichrist is destroyed in a battle. So, excuse me. It's right here. I will call for a sword against Gog throughout my mountains. He will call for a sword. He will call for others to take care of this business too, whether it's the believers, glorified body, whether God calls different nations to come and fight against the Antichrist. Okay? Every man's sword will be against his brother. Muslims will kill each other, the common habit that they have. Shia will kill Sunni, Sunni will kill Shia. That is the best thing that ever happened in Islam, is that it broke into those two segments. Now, you might still not want to believe me that this is the Lord be here. Look at that. Look at that. Go to chapter 39, continue the story, and go to verse 7. 39 verse 7 is very interesting. So, will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel? Israel will know the Messiah. Is that a battle that happens before Jesus comes? Israel will not know he is the Messiah until he comes personally, right? And they ask him, what are these marks in your hands and feet? This is the marks that I got in the house of my friends, right? I'm paraphrasing here. And I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One, what? Excuse me? What is that word again? Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I present Exhibit A. N. How important is that N? Are you going to throw that N away? Or are you going to consume that N as part of the scripture? Why is that N there? The Holy One in Israel. Every other verse in the Bible, the Holy One is of Israel. God chose a different word. He said, the Holy One in Israel. How often did I hear people make a remark about this inn? Never. Never. I saw that inn there. I said, God, thanks for that inn. It explains everything for me. It's like that Ragu quick pizza sauce. Does it got onion? It's all in there, you know. It's all in there. He is in Israel. Anybody like to object at the word inn? All right, you with me? So, that seems to explain a lot of things here. He's Gaiges because he worships a moon god. The moon is all over the Bible. The name of Antichrist is called Hillel, which means crescent moon. The symbol that you see all around is crescent moon. They want to establish the crescent moon over the cross. They put these banners on their foreheads that are blasphemous. In fact, when I came up with this, that it is the badge of servitude that Muslims already put on their foreheads, declaring a blasphemous declaration. That's what they put in their foreheads. And they put it in their right arms. In fact, I went to the old text, and we would translate 666. You know, the 666, oh, that's a, I don't want to get into this. Please don't let me get into this. I should not, it takes an hour to explain it. But in the old text, it shows these Greek, what they thought were Greek characters. And those Greek characters were these. And that's what was on the parchments, that they take these Greek letters and they interpret them as 666. But I could read this. I'll take it, any Arab, they'll read it. John saw the Arabic language, and it says, Bismillah, with the two swords, in the name of Allah. That's what it means, with the two swords, the symbol of the two swords. That is what's on the text. But again, you have to excuse the people who translated this, because they have never seen this before. They couldn't fathom it. What do we do with this? It looks like Greek letters. So let's do some gematria work on it. So they added numbers, 666. So they put 666. That's a translation. But looking at the text itself, it is a sentence in the Arabic language, which means in the name of Allah. In fact, I was watching the movie Kingdom of Heaven. You've seen Kingdom of Heaven, where Saladin comes, takes Jerusalem, removes the crust, they put the crescent moon. And if you see when they're sitting in the tent, and Salah ad-Din has on his right arm, in both arms, as a matter of fact, Bismillah, the same symbol that I saw. It's even in the movie. That's how Muslims used to do. They used to put it in their arms. All right. Any questions? Yes, sir. Did we explain this in this church or the other church? I forgot. We didn't explain it in this church? All right, let's talk about the city of Seven Hills. Want to talk about the city of Seven Hills? First of all, the Westerners have interpreted allegory with allegory. In other words, it talks about seven mountains. And it also says those seven mountains are also seven heads, right? Which the woman sits. They are also seven kings. Now, how can a mountain be literal mountain if they are also kings? You must shun away from interpreting allegory as literal and literal as allegory. We can go to Revelation 17 and dissect the whole thing if you like. Revelation 17. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. I must open up the old King James, not the new King James. Revelation 17. Let's see what yours say. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. First of all, what is the wilderness? It's a desert expanse. It's a nothingness, empty. If you go to Mecca, what do you find? Desert, absolute nothing. And I saw a woman sit on a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy. Full of names of blasphemy. What is in a name? It is a name? Is it? Remember, it's not Hillary Clinton. It's a name. It's a declaration. It's a title. Exactly. It's a title that's blasphemous. They have names of blasphemy all around. And the woman that was arrayed in purple, scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones, and it has a cup full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication, and her forehead written mystery, Babylon, the abomination, all this stuff. Okay. Now, the woman sits on seven heads. Here is the mind that has wisdom, verse 9, right? The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen. Did we draw the mountains here? That was another church. We're going to have to draw the mountains again here and go through the thing again here. It's a bigger board, see? Remember the woman. She has a cup of wine in her hand. And it is the filthiness and abominations. She produces this wine in abundance. And the world is drunk as a result of this wine. The woman is in a desert because he tells him, John, why do you wonder what the woman is? I will tell you what the woman is. The woman is a city. It's a geographic location. Okay? The woman is a city. We know that. The Bible tells us that. It's a city, geographic location. Now, what city has the swine in abundance that the world fornicates with this city, with this place? It's got this wine in abundance. And it says the world is drunk as a result of this wine. And it sells out on the people. It sells out on the Christians. It sells out on Israel. It sells out on everything. It sells the blood of the saints. And everybody's hush-hush about it. And it lives in sin. It lives in luxury. Great sin. You tell me what the country is that's in a desert that produces this wine. Saudi Arabia. In fact, we haven't went over the verses here in the Bible. The Bible tells us the destruction of that oil in Saudi Arabia, literally. Do you know all these things in allegoric fashion in Revelation talked about in the Bible literally? Do you know that? All of it. Everything. You got a few months? I'll go over it. Let me go over it with you. In Isaiah 34. And when we finish that first, since he asked me about the woman, remind me to continue Revelation 17 and talk about the seven mountains. Okay? Because I forget. I've got a bad habit of forgetting. Let's go to Isaiah 34. Isaiah 34 talks about a destruction. Verse 2. Look at 34, Isaiah, verse 2. For the indignation of the Lord is against all nations, and his fury against all the armies. He has utterly destroyed them. Verse 4. All the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll. All their hosts shall fall down as leaf falls from the vine. This is tribulation period. No doubt about it. The stars falling? That's not something small. Verse 5. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Indeed, it shall come down on Edom. His sword is bathed in heaven. Serious business. God's coming down from heaven with the sword to destroy Edom. Okay? All right. And look what it says. Look why he destroys Edom. Verse 8. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, the year of recompense for the cause of what? Zion. I want you to pay attention to that. What's the cause of Zion? Israel. God's going to come down to judge the nations for what is going on in Israel. You don't like that? That's your problem. That's what it says, the cause of Zion. Now, look what it says in verse 9. Its streams shall be turned into pitch. The word streams, look it up in the Hebrew. Don't believe me. Streams is nachal, which means what? Torrents. Okay? Mines. Underground mines. Underground mines. It's underground mines. Shall be filled with what? Pitch. Pitch. What is pitch? Asphalt. That's exactly what it is. Oil. Crude oil. That's what crude oil is. All the mines, underground mines, will be filled with this crude oil. Okay? And its dust into brimstone. Its land shall become burning pitch. Burning oil. It shall not be quenched day, night or day. Its smoke shall ascend forever. Now, you could argue with me and you say, hold on, Mr. Shubat, hold on here. That verse is talking about Edom. Edom is in Jordan, Mr. Shubat. Who are you trying to fool? You're playing a fast one on us. No, Because the Bible tells us what God concludes what is Edom. Edom is not simply just Jordan. Go to Ezekiel 25, and it tells us exactly what is this Edom. Ezekiel 25. Verse 13. Therefore, thus says the Lord God. Verse 13. I will also stretch out my hand against Edom, cut off man and beast from it, same event, and make it desolate from Teman. From Teman. Teman is right. Jordan. Dedan shall fall by the sword. I look at the Tanakh, the Hebrew translation. It says from Teman to Dedan as well. So from Teman, Dedan shall fall by the sword. Where is Dedan? All scholars agree. Dedan is, you got it, Arabia. Mentioned literally in destruction with an end times context with God himself coming down to make sure this happens. So you tell me, if the Bible does not mention literally the Arab world with the oil being destroyed, it's right there. Did God forget to warn us? No. We forgot to look at God's word. That's what happened. We forgot to look at God's word. All right? And look what happens. And look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. I will lay my vengeance on Edom by the hand of my people, Israel. This never happened before. That they may do to Edom according to my anger and according to my fury. Mama Bear is going to let the baby cub take care of the rat. You know, you come out, take care of it. That's what's going to happen. He's going to have Israel feast on them. Destroy them all. All right? Any questions? Back to the seven mountains. Saudi Arabia. Where does Islam is born from? Saudi Arabia. Can you argue that's not born in Saudi Arabia? Muhammad came from Saudi Arabia. All this stuff comes from Saudi Arabia. It was called, by the way, who discovered Saudi Arabia in the worship of the moon god? Was Nabuchadnezzar's son, Nebuchadnezzar. His name was Nabunidus. Look up the oracles of Nabunidus. It's a Babylonian religion, literally. Because Nebuchadnezzar worshipped the moon god. Look at the oracles of Nabunidus, real historic, you know, annals that talks about what happened. And Nabunidus, Nebuchadnezzar's son, Nebuchadnezzar's son, went to Yathrib, the second holiest city in Islam today. Yathrib. And in Yathrib, he introduced the worship of Murdach. And it wasn't palatable to the Arabs. So instead, he introduced the worship of the moon god. And they loved it. And they worshipped the moon god. The moon god, by the way, was the highest regarded god in Babylonian religion. And also in the Roman religion was the highest Babylonian regarded god. The Romans worshipped the moon god. You can see coins of Karkala, Hadrian, all these people. You can see all these archaeological relics with Romans going to Haran, to Babylonia and Iraq, to worship the moon god. When you look at the Roman Empire, you think of Roman Empire, you think of old Western movies. You got to stop thinking that. Roman Empire, you got to think more like that new movie, The Gladiator. You watch that movie? So there's all kinds of, North Africa was part of the Roman Empire. All these, you know, regions was part of the Roman Empire. So he introduced it there, and that's why it was called Arabia, where even in Yathrib was. It was called the daughter of Babylon. It was called the daughter of Babylon. It was born out of Babylon. The Bible calls it the daughter of Babylon. It's in the Bible, the daughter of Babylon. The Babylonian, this mystery Babylon is also called the daughter of Babylon. There's different nicknames for the harlot as well. It's also called Tyre. In Ezekiel 27, it talks about the ancient Tyre. If you go to Ezekiel, it talks about the destruction of Tyre. Go 26, right? We're 25, right? Verse 20. We talked about Ezekiel 25. You go to Ezekiel 26, it talks about the destruction of Tyre, right? That happened, yes. That was an old fulfillment. But there is a future fulfillment of a mystery Tyre. Look what the Bible talks about, mystery Tyre, this Tyre of the future. Chapter 27 of Ezekiel, verse 10. It talks about this one. It says, those from Persia, Lydia, and Libya were in your army as men of war. Who was the war army in your system? It was those ones. Iran, Persia, Lydia is what? I hope you take those notes of all those countries, because if you unlock those names of those nations, you will unlock scripture. You got to know those ones pretty pat down. When I say Persia, you got to tell me what that is. Iran. Where is Lydia? We just talked about Magog, you know, Asia Minor. All those places, the seventh kingdom that took over the, that's a different story. But Lydia is Turkey. Persia, Iran, Lydia, and Libya. Libya is what? Libya, I don't know if am I spelling Libya right? L-Y-I-A? All right, Libya. Libya is what is, remember, Phut in the Hebrew. It's also Put in the Hebrew. And that is Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco, Mauritania, Libya. Those five countries. And they are, by the way, Western Roman Empire. They were part of the Western Roman Empire, not the Eastern Roman Empire. So if you want to have a revival of a Roman Empire, what are you going to do with those countries? They're part of the Western Roman Empire. These guys, the Bible says, were your men of war. Now, what did the Moors do? Libya, the Moors. Those are the Moors as well. Remember? Morocco, Algeria. What did they do? Who took over Spain? The Moors. They went across Gibraltar and occupied Spain. They were the men of war for Islam. Lydia. Who is Lydia? The Ottoman Empire. That's the one that expanded Islam all throughout. They were the warriors, the Janissarians, all that stuff. Lydia, Turkey, and Iran as well. Those were the men of war that expanded Islam all throughout. It's very interesting. And then it talks about each one, you know, what they were doing. Verse 15, the men of Dedan, the Arabs, were traders. Right? They sold you. They're the one that's selling their religion all over the place. Syria was your merchant. Verse 18, Damascus was your merchant. Verse 21. Verse 20, Dedan, Arabia, again, 21, Arabia and all the princes of Kedar were your regular merchants. Arabia and all the princes of Kedar. The Arabs were the regular merchants. They were the ones that were selling all the stuff, religion, all the time. This is not talking about ancient Tyre. Why? I'll tell you why. You want the evidence why this is not talking about ancient Tyre? I'll give you evidence that you cannot refute. Go to chapter 28. This is a long-term fulfillment. Look at chapter 28. The word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, say to the prince of Tyre. The prince of Tyre. That's another nickname, right? Prince of Tyre. Where is Tyre? Lebanon. Lebanon. What's going on in Lebanon? What's going on in Lebanon? Mess. Oh, that's from the previous guys. If I ask what's going on there, it's answer simple. Mess. My yoke is easy in the classes. So mess. What's going on? Persia. It's talking about Persia. What's going on Persia? What's Persia? Iran. What's going on there? Mess. It's talking about Babylonia. What's Babylonia? It's Iraq. What's going on there? Mess. It's exactly as you see happening in the world the Bible is talking about. It matches. Okay? He's called the Prince of Tyre. Is this an old person? Long time ago? A historic thing? No. Look what it calls him. It goes on to call him, and you say I am a god. I sit in the seats of God in the midst of the seas, yet you are a man and not a god. He declares himself to be God, remember? Verse 7, behold, therefore I will bring strangers against you, the most terrible of the nations. Powerful nations will come. Huh? And they shall draw their swords against your beauty and your wisdom to destroy it. They shall throw you down into the pit. Verse 8. Okay? All right. Look what else it says. Verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre. He's called the prince of Tyre. Now he's called the king of Tyre. Look what it tells him. Say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection. Wow. When was a historic prince of Tyre, king of Tyre, the seal of perfection? Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Wow. Who do you wonder that is? Do you think it is? You were in Eden, the garden of God. Who was in Eden, the garden of God? Not really. There was other people there. There was Adam and Steve. They were in the garden of God. If it was Adam and Steve in the garden of God, where in the world did we come from? It doesn't work. It was Adam and Eve, right? And there was somebody else. But we're not sure who that somebody else. Maybe he's talking about Adam. Maybe Adam was perfect. Maybe he was also full of wisdom. How do I know that this is talking about Satan like you say? I'm not going to believe you that easily. I'm going to search more. Look at verse 14. You were the anointed cherub who covers. Who is the anointed cherub who covers? There's only one guy who qualifies now. The devil. It's calling the Antichrist Satan. Same thing. He does not differentiate between this angelic being and the Antichrist. They're both the same thing. They are two chili con carne, but they are a rotten chili con carne, spoiled chili con carne, trying to imitate the real deal. He is Antichrist, he is replacing Christ, and he is against Christ. Antichrist does not only mean he says, I am Christ. Antichrist does not say, I died for you. Antichrist does not say, I died on the cross for you. Antichrist does not give you the blood atonement. He denies the crucifixion. He denies the blood. He denies everything important and essential for salvation. He is against anti-America, against America. So don't think of Antichrist as a person who says, I'm Jesus. Stop the Western thinking. It doesn't fit the Bible. Antichrist is against Christ. He denies all these things. So, continue the story. Verse 18, by the iniquity of your trading. Verse 19, and all who knew you among the people are astonished at you. Remember, in Isaiah 13, everybody, well, 14, he says, people will stare at you saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble? Same person. Then you go to verse 22. Behold, I'm against you, O Sidon. Where is Sidon? Sida? In Lebanon again. Now, chapter 29 of Ezekiel. What does it say? Verse 3. Move on. Keep going. We're going to keep going all the way, and we're going to explain this whole thing once and for all. Chapter 29, verse 3. Behold, I am against you. Oh, what? What? Are you guys looking at your Bibles? Pharaoh, I don't know. Pharaoh, however you spell Pharaoh. King of Egypt. Why is he called Pharaoh, King of Egypt? It's another nickname like God likes to use. You're an Antichrist. And I know who you are. You're another Pharaoh. One of those pharaohs that Moses had to go and contend with, which I finally had to kind of whip you around to tell you that I am the God, not you. That's what he's saying. All these are conundrums of prideful people. He's telling them, you're nothing but a guy, Giz. You're nothing but a pharaoh. And God is cursing them in a way. You know, the same thing with, Jesus had conundrums. You know, had I been sitting with you before Jesus came, okay, and he comes, and we sit here and we argue, I say, well, he's born in Bethlehem. And one of you would say, no, he comes out of Egypt. And the pastor will object, and he says, nah, you both are wrong. He comes out of Nazareth. Who's wrong? None of us is wrong. I don't know if you've seen the movie Fiddler on the Roof. One guy says something. He says, you're right. The other guy says something opposite. And Rabbi Tavia says, well, you're also right. And a third person says, wait a minute. This guy doesn't agree with that guy. They can't be both right. He says, you know what? You are also right. So they're all right. He's all these names. And look what it says. He's King of Egypt. Now, Lebanon, what religion are they today? Muslim, Prince of Tyre, Pharaoh of Egypt, what religion are they? Muslim. And look what it calls him. Verse 3, O great monster who lies in the midst of his rivers.
Dragon.
Fine, dragon. That's even better. You know what? You know what? I scratched monster and I put dragon. In English, I put, no, dragon. Yeah. All right. He is the dragon who lies in the midst of the rivers. Now, kids, is that a dragon in the midst of the rivers? What's the rivers? Remember, to unlock scripture, I gave you the two keys. The two keys are what? Rivers is multitudes, different languages, peoples, and tongues. Different. He is right in the midst of them. It was all these different languages. By the way, Islam, is Islam only Arabic? Muslim world speaks many languages. All kinds of languages. You got Indonesian, you got, you know, Filipino Muslims, you got Afghan Muslims, Iranian, you got all kinds of different languages. You cannot worship Allah in Islam unless you speak Arabic. Why? Why Muslims cannot worship their God unless they speak Arabic? What happened in Babylon? You got to understand what happened in Babylon. God confused the languages, right? And that's how you have different tribes. God wills it that way. It seems that God is not fair. Just when the world wanted to have unity, one world, to worship Him, to try to reach out to Him. That seems to make sense to me. Why is God so strange that way? What sounds right to us is not right with God. In fact, what God did seems to be unfair. Confuse them and send them all different places. What you think in your mind is not what God thinks in His mind. Why? He had dispersed these nations, made borders, different languages. Why? When Nazi Germany comes to power, who else is going to neutralize that wicked man called Adolf Hitler? Who? You guys! What did you guys do to Adolf Hitler? What? Whipped him! I like that. What did you do to Dresden? You bombed the hell out of it. Oh, is that a bad word? King James Virgin. So why did God create America, separate country? England, separate country. To keep people in shape. God wasn't interested in a unity. Why? Because a unity, when there's under one world, all what Satan has to do is change that one government and he's in control. That's what happens. So Babylon wants to bring back the world under one order, under one language. That's why you cannot worship in Islam unless you speak Arabic. Islam is an imperialistic religion that wants to rule the world under one language, one culture, one everything. Standard for all. And they are using, just as Mystery Babylon, they used what? Pitch and bricks. Asphalt. Bricks with asphalt, like glue, to build this ziggurat, supposedly, to reach out to God. It is man's thinking to try to reach out to God by his own works. And God says, I reach down to man with my arm. Whenever you read the Lord's arm in the Bible, that's the Messiah, my arm. He reaches down. He didn't like that. The gospel doesn't make sense from a world perspective. But it sure does make sense to me, because as I said before in the previous church, it always takes an innocent to die for you to live. It doesn't work anywhere else. Can you tell me how can you live without innocents dying for you? Tell me. If you tell me, we'll make billions of dollars. The farmers will be finished. Your dad's done. No more corn. And we'll figure out a different way. You tell me. No. Is there a way? You must kill life for you to live. The gospel does make sense. You know, they tried to fire God one time. They came to God, a bunch of wise men, and said, God, we have decided, us wise men, that we're going to fire you. You're fired. We don't need you anymore. And he said, what? You're firing me? Yeah, you're fired. Why are you firing me? Because we can do everything without you. We can prove it to you too. All right. I'm always open for some demonstration here. So all right. So the wise man comes down and he reaches out to the earth and he grabs a piece of the earth. And he says, see this, Lord? Let me show you what I'm going to do with it. And God said, stop right there. Because they argued with God that they're going to create. We are going to create without you. So they grabbed a piece of the dirt. He said, stop right there. Why don't you go and find your own dirt and then come back? Did you get it? All right. Then we go on. Chapter 30. Look at chapter 30, verse 3. Please correct me if your King James is different than mine. We'll have a big, long debate over King James only thing. For the day, I got the book, I'll read it, I promise you. I'll look into it. I'll read it. And I agree with you, I don't like the NIV. And the New King James, I don't know, there's some good stuff in there. Okay, well, I like to go to the original Hebrew all the time. I go to the original Hebrew all the time. That's why I get these words meaning from the Hebrew. So, the King James is a very good manuscript. I love the King James, but I bought the New King James, you know. And I read it, and that's why I became Christian, from that New King James. So, it's close enough. Close enough, Pastor? Not yet. He's a perfectionist. For the day of the Lord, the day is near. Even the day of the Lord is near. It will be the day of clouds, the time of the Gentiles. What's the time of the Gentiles? Can there be any doubt what that is? The time of the Gentiles. Ushering the time of Israel. Israel will rule. You know, that's why they like to give the Zionist conspiracy. That the Zionist wants to rule the world. Yes, when Jesus comes. Not now. Now, in verse 4. The sword shall come upon Egypt. And the religion today is what? Muslim. A great anguish against Cush. That's why I go to the Hebrew. What's translated here? Ethiopia. Ethiopia is not the modern Ethiopia. It is the ancient Ethiopia, which is south of Egypt, Kush and Somaliland, What's going on in Somalia these days? What's going on in Sudan these days? When the slaying of Egypt and all that stuff. Okay. They're killed. God's going to annihilate them. Verse 5. Kush, Sudan, Libya, Fut, Jide, Tunisia, Morocco, Mauritania, Lydia, Turkey, fall by the sword, destroyed, all Muslim, mentioned literally. Don't take the arguments with me. Take it to God. It's right here. And it talks about chapter 31, Satan, verse 7. Thus it was beautiful. It calls him like a cedar tree. It was beautiful in greatness and in the length of its branches. The cedars in the garden of God could not hide it. It was unlike any other angel that God created. Verse 7, so that all the trees of Eden envied it that were in the garden of God. Verse 10, therefore thus says the Lord God, because you have increased in height, and it's set on top of the thick buffs. And that's why he talks about his destruction. We don't have time. We've got to fly through this. Verse 16. I made the nations shake at the sound of its fall when I cast it down to hell together with those who descend into the pit. He's going to put those nations in hell one by one. Judgment of the Gentiles? Literally, judgment of the Gentiles. Nations. Remember, it calls it the judgment of the nations? That's exactly how it's going to be. Libya into the pit. But God will take a remnant of his people. Come out of her, my people. He will rescue a remnant from those. Verse 7, when I put your light out, I will cover your heavens and make the stars dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. Can there be any doubt what that is about? And there it is. Keeps going on. Verse 22 of 32. 32, 22. Keep going. Doesn't end here. Assyria. Syria, Iraq, Turkey, all these countries. Assyria. Is there and all her company. Verse 23. Her graves are set in the recess of the pit. Can everybody hear me? Okay. There is, huh? Ashur, Ashur. Same thing. Verse 24. There is Elam and all her multitude. Who is Elam? Iran, Afghanistan. What's going on there? Mess. What does it say about these guys? Who have gone down with the uncircumcised to the lower parts of the earth, into hell. Verse 26, there is Meshech and Tubal, the southern states of Russia. Verse 27, who are fallen down with the uncircumcised, who have gone down to hell. There is Edom and all her kings, plural. Edom is not only Jordan. Edom is all Arabia with Yemen, all that region. Dedan, everything into the pit, down to the pit. There are the princes in the north, blah, 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 down to the pit, all the way, all the way, all the way. Then you go to Ezekiel 28, then you go to Ezekiel 29, then you go. That's how you figure it out. So start from the beginning and we go now to the end. Now we don't have time to go over Daniel and all that stuff, and there's a lot of work to be done. Now you go to Revelation, and you try to understand Revelation. You understand? Maybe we should go to Daniel. Want to study Daniel a little bit? We have time? Okay. Let's keep going. Daniel. Let's go to Daniel and see what Daniel is telling us. Daniel chapter 2. Here's an image in Daniel chapter 2. Very bad art. All right. Gold. What was the gold?
Babylon. What is Babylon today? Iraq. What's going on in Iraq today? What is the silver? Medo-Persia. What is Medo, by the way? Huh? What is Medo? Medo-Persia. Medo is Media, Kurdistan. There's mess going on there too? Media is Kurdistan, Medo-Persia. It's Iran with Kurdistan. That's why there's a prophecy in Daniel that talks about the bear rising in one side. It has two sides, but rises in one side. Basically, Persia without Medo. Iran without Kurdistan this time. It's exactly the way we see it today. Okay? And then there is the belly of bronze. Who's the bronze? Greece. Greece did not include what? Did not include Western Europe, by the way. Greece went all the way. And Greece is basically the Ionian. Yavan. Ionia. Ionia is where? Turkey. Lydia. The same one. Magog. Same one. Same thing. Then the iron, the Roman. Okay, the iron is Roman. Okay, what was that? Well, that was, you know, Eastern Rome and Western Rome. Now, from all of these comes 10. They're born from all these kingdoms. And then the stone strikes it at the feet. The stone is what? Christ. And the stone grew to become, look at that, right? Verse 35. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain. Look at let's go verse 35 again. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze. What does yours say? Let's go to Daniel. What page is Daniel 2, Pastor? 1291. All right, 1291. Verse 35. Then Okay, then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, right? Now, here's my question. How important is this word, together? You're going to ignore it? Why is it there? Why is the Bible telling us that the gold and the silver and the bronze and the iron are destroyed together at the same time? I thought that was ancient Babylon. Babylon is gone. When Jesus comes, is he going to destroy Babylon, the gone kingdom long time ago? No. He's going to destroy it coming back. It comes back. In other words, Iraq comes back, and Iran comes back, and Turkey comes back. And then the stone will destroy these kingdoms. They will be destroyed together. And Iraq is Muslim. Persia is Muslim. All the Grecian empire lands is Muslim. It's 1040 window. You know? Now, we're not sure. The iron is Roman Empire, yes. But what makes us certain that Rome is included? You know what? In Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. A lot of people ignore that stuff. I don't. It's very important. Because when Jesus came the first time, the ones who got it were the ones who focused on these unimportant verses. And they became the most important verses. Chapter 13 of Revelation. Look what it says. Look what it says. Oh, my parchment. There's 13. Verse 2. What does 13 verse 2 says? Now the beast which I saw was like a what? A leopard. His feet was like the feet of a what? Of a bear. And his mouth was like the mouth of what? A lion. Put a divider here so we can come back. His body was the body of a leopard. I'm not too much excellent draw. Us from the Middle East, there's two things we do very, very lousy. And one of them is sing hymnals. We can never do that. Okay? And draw. Okay? Spotted leopard. What is the leopard, by the way? Well, I know it's a cat. But beast resembles empires. What does it resemble? Who? Very good. Greece, Greco. That's the end time beast, by the way. It's telling you its body is the Grecian body. The Grecian body never included what again? Western Europe. Keep that in mind. The Grecian Empire never included Western Europe. Alexander moved more towards the east, towards Indonesia. By the way, what religion are they there? Muslim. Alexander came from where? He didn't come from Cyprus. Forget Zorba the Greek. When you think of Greek, don't think Zorba the Greek. Don't think the Greek islands. He came from Macedonia. What religion is Macedonia today? Muslim. He came to Ionia, the Turkic part. Turkey, by the way, runs Cyprus. It occupied Cyprus. They persecuted the Christians there. So even if you want to say Greek Cyprus, guess what? Muslims are ruling it. No Europe. Feet of a bear. What's the bear? Persia. What's going on there? Mouth of a lion. Lion is Babylonia, which includes Arabia as well. That's Babylonia. The mouth, the speaking, the blasphemy is coming from Arabia. And it's ruling. That's the mouth. That's the head. Is Arabia. Babylonia. Leopard and feet of a bear. Persia, Iran. I didn't say that. That's what the Bible says. It says all that stuff is put there together. Matches the image. And it matches the woman riding on the beast. Are you with me so far? Now, let's go back to the seven heads to unlock the seven heads. Then we can continue in Daniel back. And right? Back to the issue with the woman riding the beast. Here is the wisdom, verse 9. The seven heads are seven mountains which the woman sits. We draw these composites, right? There are seven mountains which the woman sits. Is there enough space? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They're still ugly mountains. Okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The woman runs seven heads, seven mountains, seven kings. Look at that. There are also seven kings. The mountains are what? Kingdom. A mountain is a kingdom. Don't forget that. Mountain is a kingdom. Why? Because the Bible said mountains are kingdoms. The stone grew to become a great mountain. Even Babylon, he says, I will roll you from the mountains. I will roll you, great mountain, I will roll you down from the hill. The mountains will bow to you, to Jesus. He will remove the mountains. He will destroy the mountains. He will remove the kingdoms. There are seven kings ruling these kingdoms. Five have fallen. Look at that. Seven mountains in which, verse 9, sits there. Also seven kings, verse 10. Five have fallen. One is, and the other has not yet come. Are you with me? Five fell. Who's talking? John. Where's John sitting if five fell before him? If five empires fell before John, where is John sitting? Number what? Six. John is sitting here. The poor guy's writing down the stuff. He says, five fell. What are the five fell? Well, we know them. Egypt, Egyptian empire that ruled the Middle East. It must rule the Middle East. Egypt, Assyria, came after it, took a mantle from Egypt. Babylon took the scepter from Assyria. Persia, Medo-Persia, Iran today, took the scepter from Babylonia.
It's all in the Bible. And then Greece took the scepter from Persia, and John is sitting on the Roman, which took the scepter from Greece. He's talking about number seven. Because that's the guy that you got to worry about. And the Roman Empire was in Rome. It was sacked by the barbarians. Read Gibbons and the Fall of Rome, one of the best historians in the Roman Empire. Read Gibbons and the Fall of Rome. Rome fell in the West. But the Roman Empire was not destroyed. It continued. That's why he calls it the Fall of Rome, because the Roman Empire still existed. Where did it exist? Where did the Roman Empire continue to exist? In the east part. Where was that? Constantinople. It was called, in Asia Minor, Constantinople was called the Byzantium Empire, right? The Byzantium, the Byzantine Empire. Read it. Go to your Google, search about it. The Byzantine Empire was a Roman Empire, continuation of the Roman Empire. That is the Roman Empire. And where was it located? Where? Not exactly. A little above, just an inch above. Turkey. Lydia. Ludim. Remember the destruction of Lydia. Magog. Asia Minor. Everything is leading to Asia Minor. The Greco. Ionia. Yavan. The war between the children of Zion against the children of Yavan. Zechariah 9. And the Lord will be seen amongst them. Read Zechariah 9. It's very important. Write it down. Read it. It talks about the destruction of, you know, the Antichrist. It talks about the battle between who and who? The children of Zion and the children of Yavan. Not Yavan, Yavan the person, but Yavan is Ionia, the country in Turkey. That continued was called the Byzantium Empire. Who took the Byzantium Empire? Who took the Roman Empire then? The Ottoman Turks. There you have it. The Ottoman Muslims, right? They took the mantle from the Roman. And that's where the caliphate ended, by the way. That's where Islam lost its glory, when who destroyed the Ottoman Empire? Who destroyed the Ottoman Empire? Who? You guys! Same thing! I look British everywhere. This is English people here. The Allies down there, you guys, the Christians. The Christians are the ones that destroyed the Ottoman Empire. They gave the Ottoman Empire a wound, a deadly wound. And that wound wants to heal so badly. Who do they hate? You guys. Why do they want to kill you guys? Because you guys gave them the wound. They never forgot it. That's where the caliphate came from. You know what a caliphate is? Caliph, caliph. Okay. Caliph is the vicar of Muhammad. You know how you have Pope? Pope is the vicar of Christ here. In Islam, the caliph is the vicar of Muhammad. Islam is just like your church, broken in two, Shia, Sunni, Protestant, Catholic. That's why the confusion in America, thinking that that must be the Catholic and the Eastern Catholic and the Western Catholic, and that's the harlot and the Roman and Eastern Roman, they think in Western terms. And, you know, the Pope calls himself the vicar of Christ. That's blasphemy and all that stuff. And so that's how you think in the West. But there's a vicar of Muhammad in Islam, and this is the caliph. And the caliphate ended in the Ottoman Empire. That's why you talk to Muslim fundamentalists, they're upset at you. They say, we want to reestablish Islam from Turkey, from the caliphate. That's where the wound, remember, one of its heads had a deadly wound, and the wound was healed. Westerners think that that's the Antichrist. It can't be, because if it's Antichrist with seven heads and one of his heads was wounded, that's an ugly looking Antichrist. Are you going to follow an Antichrist with seven heads? Forget an Antichrist with seven heads. And if he dies and comes back to life, then Satan can give life. That does not work. Satan does not give life. Only God can give life. He cannot revive himself. And very interestingly, so Walid, well, what has that got to do with us? That Ottoman Empire came and gone. Are you saying the Ottoman Empire, the Muslim Empire, is going to come again? Yes. Look at that verse. Look what it says. And the beast that was, I don't know, that's verse 11. My parchment is so old. The beast that was and is not is himself also the what? You see that verse? Which verse is that, Pastor? Verse 11. And the beast that was, what does it say? And the beast that was what? And is not. Is not yet. Because it's number 7. He's talking about number 7 that was wounded. Okay? Is himself also what? The 8th. Aha. That's a major clue, my friends. You can go look at Walver's interpretation. You can look at all the interpretations you want. And say, we don't know what to do with the 8th. Because this is the Roman Empire. It comes back again. Second coming of the Roman Empire. What's the 8th? Third coming of the Roman Empire? It doesn't work. So what do they do? Say, ah, the 8th, that must be the Antichrist. No. You're not going to pull a fast one here. That is a kingdom with a king. Not just a king coming back. Well, that's the Antichrist coming back. No. It's the same one coming back. There's only 7. How many mountains are there? 7. How many heads are there? 7. This one comes back again because it's the same one. It was wounded. It comes back to life. That's the empire that's coming back again. By the way, let's put horns on each one. Egypt is one horn, one horn, one horn, one horn. The Grecian empire, Alexander, was broken into 4 horns. It's in the Bible. Daniel, remember the little horn? Broken 4 horn. Notable ones came out as a result from it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Another horn and another horn. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 horns. And there is an 11th one. Ah, because this comes again, another different king, an 11th horn. He's a different person from Muhammad II, who took over the Roman Byzantium Empire. Now, Walid, we got a problem with your interpretation. Because in Daniel chapter 9, the Bible tells us, is everybody with me here or am I going overdrive? You're with me. Only one is with me. Oh, that's a problem. Walid, we've got a problem with your interpretation because in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26 and 27, you see that? That is definitely a Roman Empire here. Look what it says. You know the 70 weeks of Daniel? Are you familiar with the 70 weeks? Are you teaching them on that stuff, Pastor? All right, good. And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Right? Let's erase this stuff, because that's sensitive. You got to understand that. Once you understand these things, trust me, you'll never be the same. You might enjoy learning all this stuff, but the damage I have done to you is that you have a duty. Knowledge is great, but with knowledge comes a curse. And that is, you got to do something about it. Right? Let's go here. What does it say? It says, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, right? People of the... Write things down. It makes things a lot easier. Prince, who is to come? Walid, the prince who is to come was Titus. He destroyed the temple. He's from the Roman Empire. And then it says he will establish a covenant for 7 years. That's the Antichrist. Must come from Rome. Right? That's the Western thinking. If he must come from Rome, then the Antichrist comes from Rome. That's in Daniel chapter 9. Got you there. All right, that's fine. Fair enough argument. But let's try to understand, what does it mean by the people of the prince who is to come? Who is the prince who is to come, who destroys the city and the sanctuary? What is the city and the sanctuary, by the way? Temple in Jerusalem. The people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Question number one. Who is the prince? Who? You're good. Okay. Who else wants to give an answer? Right. That, absolutely. You're right. Excellent. Very wise. You've taught them well. Is he one of your students? Used to be. Oh, you learn the stuff and you kind of bail out on us. People of the prince. He's right. It's right. 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. The people of the prince who is to come. When is he coming, this prince? When is this prince coming? He's the Antichrist. Let's say a couple thousand years later. 2,000 years later. Those people of the progeny of the prince who is to come 2,000 years later, those guys are the ones that will destroy the temple in 70 AD. You're confused? Yeah? You're confused? Are you with me? All right, let's go over that again. The people of the prince, the people, the progeny, the predecessors of the Antichrist. Who's going to come, let's say about a couple thousand years later? Those people, his people, his nations, his people, his progeny, they're going to destroy the temple. Who will come? Will destroy the city and the sanctuary that was destroyed in 70 AD. Those people are the one that destroyed the temple in 70 AD. Okay? They were Muslims at that time. The people of the Antichrist. Are we all in agreement? The prince is the Antichrist. The people of the Antichrist. Who will come? Who will come later? We don't know when he's coming. Shall destroy the city and temple, sanctuary. Right? Are you with me? So the people of Antichrist, who's going to be coming later on, will destroy the city and the sanctuary. When did this happen? 70 AD. Who destroyed the temple? So, if we want to find out where the Antichrist comes from, we should go and find out who are the people that destroyed the temple in 70 AD, right? Are you with me? Who destroyed the temple? Yes, there were the Roman Empire. But you as Westerners think the Roman Empire is Romans from Rome. No. It was Legion 10, the 10th Legion of the Roman Empire. And the way legions are made up, they're made up of different cohorts. And each cohort comes from a specific country. That's how it was. The cohorts of Legion 10 were Cohort Arabia, Petranium, Petra, Nabataean Arabs. Syria. Syrians. Mentioned in the Bible. Assyria. And Thracia. Thracia. Turks. Those Bulgarians. Those Muslims. In Turkey. In Asia Minor. There you have it. And guess what? It fits everything else. The Bible fits. That will match the little horn of Daniel 11, of Daniel 2, of everything else in the scripture. That was a stickler, Daniel 9, because I know it comes up all the time in the future about Titus. Now, before we answer your question, let's continue on. How do we know that the prince here is Antichrist? Go to verse 27. This is, the prince is not Titus, because verse 27, it says, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. He, if it's speaking about Titus, he insists that this person is Titus who gave a covenant. Titus never gave a covenant of 7 years. Only one person who will do that, and that is the Antichrist. That's why we understand this interpretation this way. It's the only way, by the way, that that interpretation will make that he fit. There's no other way. You can play with it all you want. Doesn't work. Question, sir. Bingo. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Remember, Satan entered Judas. Right. Judas is a symbol of the Antichrist. Judas was an Antichrist.
But he also went into his own place. Do you see him being brought back to life during
Satan does not need, Satan doesn't need God. And no, God is not going to revive Judas. The only one who can revive a human being is God. There's no way any man can revive themselves. There's only one who was able to revive themselves. If we start going that road, we are given attributes to people that only we can give to Christ. I mean, we are Christians. Makes us so different is that we believe that Jesus came back to life because he was God. So we can't be saying that, well, Judas comes back to life. We're giving him godly attributes. That's very dangerous to go that route. He can't. It's not Judas. It's a different man who's the same person, because he will be indwelt with the devil himself. Yes. I didn't know there was a bunch of people back there. Where did you guys pop from? Hold on here. Revelation what? 13:15. See, here's the Western thinking about how they interpret allegory. They take each thing and they interpret it as a thing. Let's give you an example. The ten virgins. Five had oil in their lamps. Five didn't have oil in their lamps. To Westerners, okay, the oil is the Holy Spirit. And the one without the oil didn't have the Holy Spirit. They were not saved. The ones with oil were saved. You don't take allegory and start breaking it down this way. You've got to look at a full picture. Okay, the full picture. The ten virgins is simply the story of, there's ones who cared, ones didn't care. The vineyard. One cared about the vineyard, others didn't care. The talents. One cared, others didn't care. That kind of thing. The ones that cared about the subject that I'm about to tell you, they will go to heaven. For I was hungry, and he didn't give me food. I was in prison. He didn't visit me. When did you do this thing? He did it to the least of my brethren. It's the ones who cared about his brethren. That's all it is. So don't try to take images and pictures and try to analyze each word for word. You're going to get a lot of trouble that way. He revives an image of the beast. A beast is a kingdom. A beast has always been a kingdom with a king. Daniel says of all the animals, beasts, the goat, remember? All that, the bear, all that are kingdoms. They're not persons. He will give image to the beast. He will recreate the beast that was wounded. that empire that was destroyed, he's going to recreate it. The devil is going to try to revive it. He's going to give it an image. There's verses in the Bible that tell us Israel is without image, without an emblem, without a banner, without anything to be proud about. The image, what's the image of America? You know? Well, the eagle, the image of Islam, the crescent moon. He will revive the image. He will bring back the empire. So you can't go with this image of the Antichrist and they worship the image of the Antichrist. That's not what it's talking about. What's 18 what?
18.
Of course. Remember, first of all, the word city, you think of it as a single city. Medina, it's Hebrew also. That's not with the Greek. But if you say Medinat Israel, the state of Israel, Medina also means city. The usage of the word city could also be regarding a state. Okay, a whole district of land. It doesn't have to be a city specifically. So it could be the whole of Arabia. It could be Medina or Mecca, one of those things. However, interesting point you bring, the shipmasters are on the sea. They weep and they wail, alas, alas, what a great city, da 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 da, what is a city like this city? And they cry and weep, for no one buys their merchandise any longer. Most Westerners think that these guys are crying because that great city was giving them merchandise. They're crying because that city doesn't buy their merchandise. Why? They can't sell their merchandise anymore. The oil is destroyed. Everything is destroyed. And those shipmasters are at the sea. Now, which sea are we talking about? The Sea of Marmara? The Red Sea? The Mediterranean Sea? Well, let's go to some of the greatest scholars of Bible prophecy. One of the greatest is Sir Robert Anderson. He was head of Scotland Yard. The guy was the whiz of his time. Did you know that Sir Robert Anderson unlocked the 70 weeks of Daniel? To the day, calculated to the day. It's called the coming prince. The guy was incredibly a genius. And what did he say? He says, when we talk about this revival of the Roman Empire, we're talking about the Levant, not the Adriatic. The Levant, the eastern parts, not the western parts. First of all, I know I'm deviating from the subject. But there is that sea that we're talking about in Jeremiah chapters 49, 50, and 51 that tells us about the same event. Verse 17, Edom will be an astonishment. Destroy, look at that. Verse 18, as in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, this place will be destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? Look at verse 21. The earth shakes at the noise of their fall. At the cry, its noise is heard at the what? Red Sea. When that place is destroyed, it's heard at the Red Sea. So it is at the Red Sea. Verse 20. This must be end times, because verse 20 of chapter 50 says, in those days and in that time, says the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought, but there shall be none. Israel will have no sins. So we're at the Red Sea. And keep going. Look at that. Verse 28. The voice of those who flee and escape from the land of Babylon, declares the Lord in Zion. declares in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of his temple. He's telling you why he's destroying Babylon. Vengeance for his temple, over the Temple Mount, over Jerusalem. And this can't be ancient Babylon, because ancient Babylon was not destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah. Ancient Babylon was taken over by the Persians by trickery, right? This is huge, and this tells you it's at the Red Sea. The voice of the destruction is heard at the Red Sea, and the shipmasters are located at the Red Sea. Now, I know some of you like to argue these things. Okay, some, oh, well, we don't agree with this and that, and they'll nitpick on me, that's fine. However, before you nitpick on me, you must do something about all these literal references of Muslim nations that are cast into hell one by one. In fact, remember, we just went over Ezekiel 28, 29, 30, and 31, each country into the pit, into the pit, into the pit, right? They're all Muslim. So, first one went into the pit was who? Who was the first one that went into the pit? Satan, the cherub, into hell, then the nations after him. You go to chapter 18 of the Revelation. Is it 19 or 18? I need a new parchment. I need a new parchment so badly. He gave me one, but it's only at King James. I'm not going to read the King James Version now and become one of you guys, right? Maybe the Lord wants me to use the King James. I'll use it. Now, look at chapter 18. Babylon the great is fallen and become the habitations of demons. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, the oil. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Wow. And then he talks about, I got to find what chapter. It's chapter 18, but my parchment is so old. I got to read it from the King James. Sorry. So whoever doesn't like the King James, tough, huh? I'm looking for, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him. And that's in 1919. Huh? 1919. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken. What's the beast? What's the beast? The kingdom. All the seven mountains. Was taken, and with him the false prophet. See, to Westerners, the false prophet is a different person. It's not. It's the Antichrist. He is the Antichrist. The false prophet is the Antichrist. And he rules this beast that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and that them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. The beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire. And Ezekiel talks about the devil, the cherub, into the fire, and all these nations that comes with them, the beast. So the Bible tells us literally what that means. You don't have to try to come up with your own interpretation. The interpretation is already in Scripture. You understand? You're getting tired? I understand. I know. It's tough, but I'll be gone tomorrow, and you're going to have all these arguments left behind.
Beast
There is no disagreements, by the way. Hold on, we're not disagreeing. We're not disagreeing. Mystery Babylon is not the beast. Mystery Babylon is the woman that drives the beast. So where's our disagreements? So what's the feminine? Let's talk about the feminine gender. What does the feminine gender have to do with this? Are you? Worship Mary. Worship Mary. So the woman is Mary. Is the woman Mary? Queen of Heaven. Well, guess what? The church is also talked about as the woman. Israel is also talked about as the woman. So we can't say because the usage is the woman, that must be the Mary worship. How do you conclude that? Who else worships a woman but the Catholic Church? Well, it doesn't say that they worship the woman. It says the woman rules it. It controls it. I don't see how Mary is controlling the Catholic Church or any of that stuff.
Have you read Fox's book, Martyrs?
Of course. You know, let's compare the persecution of Christians between Catholicism and Islam and what the Bible describes of how this persecution is. First of all, the Catholic Church killed Christians. How? They burned them and they drowned them. No beheading. There was no beheading. It was burning or drowning. The Bible talks about this by beheading. I saw the martyrs who were beheaded in the name of Jesus. Second of all, how many did the Catholic Church kill? Millions? I don't think so. I don't think it's millions. In comparison to Islam, the Catholic Church is infinitesimal of what they killed as far as Christians. Turkey alone killed 10 million Christians. You have no clue how many Christians died at the hands of Islam. I mean, it's immense. Immense, immense, unbelievable. The Armenian Holocaust. The massacre of Smyrna. Let's talk about the blood of the martyrs, since you mentioned the Fox Book of Martyrs. And I'm defending my view here versus the view of the Catholic Church. What happened to the Church of Smyrna? Let me wake you up a little bit. One of the seven churches in the Bible, in the Book of Revelation, right? And the Church of Smyrna remained for a long time. Who destroyed the Church of Smyrna? The Muslims. Very recently, 1900s, the Christians of Smyrna, look it up, the massacre of Smyrna. Go home, do a Google exact search, massacre of Smyrna, read on it. You read very little about it because no one wants to talk about the killing of the Christians by the Muslims. That's why everybody talks about the killing of the Christians by the Catholics. Because everybody's sleeping in bed with Islam. Nobody wants to talk about that. The collective denial of the Muslim world regarding persecuting Christians. They deny the massacre in Sudan, over 2 million in front of your own eyes. And they deny it. The Catholic Church does not deny what they've done in the past. They don't. It's in the open. Islam denies everything. Turkey, collective denial with the Armenian genocide. Go and put exact search. Smyrna. Massacre. I don't know how to spell massacre, Pastor. Of Smyrna. Put exact search. What happened in Smyrna? All the Christians ran to the loading dock. Hundreds of thousands. And the women were begging the ships, European and American ships, were there docked. And nobody interfered because of the delicate peace process with the Ottoman Empire. Nobody wanted to intervene in the delicate peace process. So they didn't intervene when they watched this stuff. The ships finally says, it's too much massacre, let's just get out of here. And the ships turned the propellers on. And as they were trying to make out of the dock, the propellers got tangled in the hair of the women's heads that were floating by the hundreds in the loading dock in thousands. They had to go cut the hair to get it off so they can get out of Dodge, so they don't interfere. The baskets of heads were all over Smyrna. Muslims were proud about the massacre of Smyrna. In fact, they collected all the girls, put them in the mosques, and they started killing each other over the girls. I want her. No, I want her. And they started killing each other over the girls. That was the end of the Church of Smyrna. That happened right in your times. Thank you, sir. 1922. The Armenian Massacre. Naeem Bek, from the Ottoman Empire again, issued a decree. When you see the Armenians with a decrepit situation, have no compassion and sorrow for them. We need to get rid of the world from the Christians. And they took the Armenians and they slaughtered them. Million something? In a few days. Slaughtered them, gone. Let's talk about the massacres. They were beheaded. I saw the martyrs, they were beheaded. They were killed by beheading. Who have done the beheading? The Muslims. You can argue the Catholic Church all you want. That is old, old, old history. If your theory is true, that the Catholic Church must reinstitute beheading, you can wait for a very long time. I ain't waiting that long because I see it right in front of my own eyes. It's happening. Again, you gotta tell me, how are all these Muslim nations, the beast, mentioned by name, one by one, are gonna follow the Vatican? They demonstrated in Turkey by the thousands. Haven't you seen the television? What must I do to make Christians think? What were they demonstrating about? They were cursing the Pope. And what did the Pope do? He made a visit to Turkey. Wonderful Islam. I'm sorry. Please. Holy Father, I'm sorry. That's what happened. He made a comment. They didn't realize how far it's going to go. And his comment was true. He says, Islam spread by the sword, by the blood. And he got ridiculed for it. Did the Muslims count? If the Pope was the harlot, was he riding that beast? No! He was not riding that beast. Who's riding that beast now? It's Islam coming out of Arabia. That's where the religion comes from. That's the source of the religion. That's the source of the prophet. That's where they all worship towards. They worship that stone in that desert, sand, and with abundance of oil. We saw how the oil burned. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, if you cannot convict, you must acquit. I presented tremendous amount of evidence, literal references. You can stay with the Catholic Church interpretation. Guess what? I'm not going to get hurt. You're just going to wait for a long time. And you're going to send me an email a few years from now. I'll be glad to read that email. Give me a smile. You know, find another sheep, got it. Yes, ma'am. Yes. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask you that question. They're here, they're spreading their dogma. What are you going to do about it? Say to who? Who's going to ask you? It's like my wife. She said to me, you know, I was praying for a husband, but I never went looking for one. And I said, God, if a husband's going to come, he's going to come falling from the chimney. And guess what? I did. God answers that way. I call her up. who are you? He said, I know you don't know me, but I saw your picture and I'd like to meet you. I fell from the chimney. But I think that we need to be proactive. Be proactive, not reactive. Hold on with your questions. It's a very important issue. I mean, we stay here for 2 days. What are we going to do about this? That's what I told you. Knowledge is a curse. It's a blessing and it's a curse. Right. Now you have to do something about it. Right. Well, what are you going to do about it? Sir, you know why I'm looking at you. Tell them what should we do about it. There's a man who knows what he's doing. There's a man who knows what he is doing. Yes, he's doing it for his own blessings too. There's nothing wrong with that. But he wants to take a bite out of Islam. He's ticked off. The first thing you need to do is get ticked off. I don't see you ticked off at all. You need to get ticked off, upset. So you need to be upset. He's doing ethanol. He found his niche. And God bless him and bless his niche and bless his son, because his son's doing the right job and God's going to bless him. Find a niche. You found your niche, right? I found my niche. I was a terrorist. Now I'm an ambassador. Do you know how many people we reached on the media? Just talking in the media and all these things? Take a guess. $450 million people throughout the world. That's how much we reached. And I don't have a television, TV. I don't have televangelist. I don't have the money. I don't have anything. I just had God and the Bible. And I said, I'm going to go. Lord, send me. Netanyahu, I can tell you stories galore. Netanyahu went to Concordia to speak. Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel at that time. He was denied entry into the College of Concordia because of the Palestinian Muslim violence. It was too dangerous. I said, God, send me to Concordia. I was there, speaking, just like here. Mad Arab students in the back, Jewish Christian students. You know, I'm talking. And the guy came who caused the ruckus, and he was my relative, Samer al-Atrash Shoaibat. He's the one that stopped Netanyahu from speaking. He's a terrorist. He took the speaker and he wanted to mock at me. He says, tell the Jewish kids here what's going to happen when Jesus comes. Well, he wanted me to offend them because when Jesus comes, they're going to become Christian. So if I said that, I would offend the Jewish students. So think like Jesus right now, Walid. I said, well, Jesus is a Jew. There's only one faith, and that is the Jewish faith. There is no two, three faiths, by the way. The faith that you have is a Jewish faith. It's not a Christendom's faith. It's not like the Catholic Church. It's a Jewish faith. Paul was Jewish. The faith was Jewish. You're grafted into the faith. I says, Jesus is a Jew. The book is Jewish book. God is one. His book is one. And when he comes back, the whole world's going to be Jewish. Christians stood up, clapped. They understood fully what I'm talking about. The Jews stood up and clapped. And I said, now I have a question, but not to you, to the crowd. Is this who you want in your country? People like this who held you hostages in your university, in your campuses? Is this what you want? And the crowd stood up and shouted at him, leave. It was a victory. Till today they talk about it in Concordia. When I went to Ireland, God sent me to Ireland. The number one TV show in Ireland, everybody in Ireland stuck their faces on the television set. The ex-prime minister of Ireland spoke before me on the television. She hated Bush. She hated America. And she started bad-mouthing Bush and bad-mouthing America. And then I was watching the TV. We were sitting in this room right before you entered into the studio. I'm watching in anger. And I walked in there. My turn was to the interview. And I said, before you interview me, sir, your ex-prime minister said these things about my president. Shame on her, and shame at anybody who believes that garbage she said. I said, if Ireland gets struck with terrorism like we did in 9/11, we will be the first ones to come to your aid, including our president. Shame on this kind of language coming out of Ireland. Now you can ask me the question. And the whole Irish country heard that. And I walked out, finished the interview as an ex-terrorist, right? And I'm walking out, there's a hallway you walk out to, dark, and there comes her bodyguard, big, huge guy. I said, uh-oh. Here comes trouble. He comes right at my face. And you know what he tells me? He says, sir, I want to thank you personally for the things you said. You're welcome. He liked what I said. He hates his boss. And I went to Fox News, and I sat there in Fox News waiting to go to, what's this guy's name, Bill O'Reilly. I'm sitting in the studio waiting for my turn. And who was there taking, getting the makeup on? It was the guy with the mustache, big mustache.
Geraldo.
Geraldo, yes, Geraldo, that's right. And my friends is looking at me. We're all three ex-terrorists. Is that Geraldo? Yeah, that's Geraldo Rivera. So I said, I want to pick a fight with Geraldo Rivera. I said, guys, three ex-terrorists sitting with me, all Christian, all ambassadors for Christ, die hard for. I says, guys, I love the Fox News team. There's only one guy I cannot stand in the Fox News team. Zach asks me, a Lebanese terrorist, says, who's that, Walid? I said, Geraldo Rivera. I can't stand that guy. And he looks, and he's got this apron on, they're putting the makeup on him. He looks inside of his eye, he's upset. He finishes, takes the apron, comes and sits right next to me in the couch. We're sitting in the couch. He says, what are you in for? I says, well, I came to interview with a guy by the name of Bill O'Reilly. So where are you from? I said, I'm Palestinian. He says, I want you to know, for your information, I have always supported a Palestinian state. He assumed that I'm Palestinian, that I'm pro-Palestinian state, all Palestinians. I'm the only Palestinian that I know that is not pro-Palestinian state. I said, really? He goes, really? I said, Geraldo, what is the most... I know we've done stupid things in our lives. I've done so many stupid things in my life. What is the most stupidest thing you've done in your life? Come on, we're guys. I'll tell you what's the most stupidest thing I've done in my life, but first you tell me what's the most stupidest thing you've done in yours. He thought about it. He goes, you know that line in the sand thing? He was in the Gulf War, and he was talking... Americans drew a line in the sand right here. He gave out the area where the Americans are going to enter into the Gulf War. Remember that story? And the military hauled his butt and got him out of there in the next plane. Get this guy out of here. Idiot. Gave up the nation's entrance. You know, the whole... Said that line in the sand thing, that was the most stupidest thing I've ever done. I said, no, Geraldo. That is the second most stupidest thing you've done. The first most stupidest thing you've done was to support a Palestinian state. What? You're Palestinian. So I'm not an ordinary Palestinian. I'm an Israeli Arab. There is no such thing as Palestine. Palestine, my friend, is a psychosis that was created by the world. It was a psychosis that people carry body parts and flesh in Ramallah, praising Allahu Akbar to the whole world, and children are carrying body parts. That is not a righteous nation. You're creating a mini Iran, not a mini America. I said, I'm betting you in front of these fine gentlemen right here, two terrorists, in front of these fine gentlemen right here, $1 million, that the elections will happen and you'll have an Islamic fundamentalist state called Palestine. That was before the election of Hamas. I've been saying it for years, warning America, you're going to create an Islamic Palestinian state. No one listened to me. And sure you have it right there. I said, would you make this bet with me in front of these fine two gentlemen? They didn't look gentle at all. One of them killed 230 people. Mostly with a knife. Zach Hanani. And he said, of course not. I said, why not? He said, because I'm not stupid. I said, you know deep down inside of you the truth. He was a Jew. He showed me emblem on his hands. He had the tattoo and all this stuff. But I ran into all these big shots. I got a call from the senator just before yesterday. It's not a big deal. It is not a big deal. So you ask me, what should we do? Christians, stop doing what you do all the time. Stop complaining and bickering and bellyaching over what you see, and there's nothing you can do. There's always something that you can do. Preempt. Don't wait. Make your own events. I like what he does. He put a bloody sign out there and tick off everybody. That's something. That is something. Guess what happens? They get upset. And the media takes pictures. And they don't like this church. And that gives you an opportunity to come on the media and explain why you're doing what you're doing. If you want to get on the media, talk to us. Call us up. We love to put you on Fox. I just ran into a lady in the plane, her and her husband. Her daughter was in Guantanamo Bay. She can tell you all kinds of things of how they well-treated the prisoners there. Give me her name. I'll put her on Fox News. CNN News. Don't complain about the media. Infiltrate the media. Preempt. Shoot first. Ask questions later. That's what preempt means. Find your niche. Ethanol, whatever it is. If you don't have an itch, ask God, give me an itch. He'll give it to you, no problem. Put a pamphlet. Educate others. Be active as a Christian. You're important. You're an ambassador. So start acting like one. God bless you, and thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. First thing a person needs in order to grow is to be teachable. This man has laid a smorgasbord of food out here for us. Now, you may not like a few things in that smorgasbord that he laid out. Don't gripe about what you don't like. Thank him for what you like. Amen. Appreciate what he's done.
Amen.
You say this is not a fundamentalist church. This is a Bible-believing church. Where we go for all the counsel of God, even stuff that we don't know. That's why I brought this man, because I knew he knew things I didn't know. I grew up in Podunk, Indiana. Thank God for my roots. Thank God for what this man's gone through. If you got a prayer list, put this man on your prayer list.
Amen.
This man is going to be able to go places we can't go, and he's got knowledge that God has given him that we don't have. So we can work in our area here, pass out tracts, street preach, talk to people. But pray for this man for safety. And pray for this man for wisdom. He's on our side. He got a good Bible now. But I thank God that God arranged this meeting. I know he did. And I appreciate him so much. And I tell you, it's a great blessing. Thank God for this. Okay, let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for Waleed. God, I pray you'd keep your hand on him. Protect him, guard him. Put your holy angels watching around him. Pray you'd give him wisdom. Give him wisdom to shut the mouths of these fools that are running things. And God, I pray you'd give us wisdom. And God, please help us to be faithful to thee. And to you, and Lord, even so, come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.